Before I begin, can I encourage every one of us here today to keep your Bibles open to Luke chapter 8, which was read to us just before. Please have it open in front of you. Our passage is Luke 8, 16 to 21. And as you find Luke 8, 16 to 21, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever felt the weight that you are going to hear God speak to you? Have you ever felt that weight? Have you ever felt the weight that God's word is going to be read and he will be speaking directly to you? As I began to write this sermon this week, I was reminded of something that a wonderful preacher by the name of Peter Adam once said when I heard him preaching one day. And as he approached the pulpit and he read the Bible and he preached, he introduced the Bible passage, he gave some time for people to find it, and after the room fell silent and they were ready for him to speak, he said something quite profound that I'll quote in just a moment, but I'll never forget it. I had to write it down as I heard him speak. I thought it was amazing. So I want to share Pete Adams' words in our time together today, because our topic in Luke is about how we listen to God's word. And so friends, as you have Luke 8, 16 to 21 in front of you, let me begin by quoting what Peter Adams said. He said this, "As I read the Bible right now, God is speaking. I don't mean I'm God. I mean, as I read God's words, God is speaking to all of us. So please listen carefully." Let me pray. Father, I pray that you would create in all of us hearts that will listen to your word. And not only hearts that will listen to your word, but will do it, will put it into practice. Would you help us today to create patterns in our lives that will help us to grow more in Christ? And we pray this in his name. Amen. So friends, we're in Luke 8, 16 to 21 today. And as we come to that passage, it's where we pick up where we left off from last week, where Ben took us through the parable of the sower and the seed. So Ben's passage last week showed us that when the seed is scattered, the sower scatters the seed, everyone hears it, but it's the seed on the good soil that grows. And so Ben's challenge last week for us was that if you want to live a flourishing Christian life, that Jesus is calling you to it through hearing God's word, and holding on to that word planted in you through Jesus, doing what he says through his word, and there will be evidence in your life that will back that up. Now, today's passage, we almost have the same application. We have the same message about hearing God's word and doing it, but we have it through two different examples. And so the first one we're going to look at now, the first example Jesus gives us is through the parable of a lamp on a stand. So have a look in your Bibles there at verse 16. I'm going to read that now. "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light." Now, of course, this is pretty straightforward from Jesus, isn't it? The light, of course, is the good news of Jesus. And the more we understand the good news of Jesus, the more knowledge we gain from knowing Jesus, the higher we ought to place our lamp in our lives. So friends, I want to ask you this question. What is the purpose of light? What is the purpose of light? As you look at the stars at nighttime, what is the purpose of light? Well, I think we know that the role of light is to be seen. And again, as we look at the stars, it's not the darkness we notice, is it? It's the stars. It's the light. The light is what we see. But light also has another function, a very important function. It reveals things that are hidden. And Jesus says, what would be the use of lighting a lamp if you didn't use it for its purpose? I mean, logically, this makes perfect sense, doesn't it, as we hear it? Light a lamp, put it out in the open. Put it on the stand so that it does the role of what it's designed to do, to be seen and to reveal the things that are hidden. And on a side note, I just love how Jesus points out the obvious too. I mean, He says, you know, why would anyone light a lamp and hide it? Why would they light a lamp and hide it? It's just ridiculous. What would be its use? No, Jesus says, put the lamp out and let it do what light does. Let it shine and let it reveal what is hidden. So keep that thought in your mind there. We're going to go to verses 17 and 18. Let me read those. Jesus continues, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. So friends, that was verse 17 and 18. Now I want you to think about the parable that Jesus gives in verse 16 about the lamp and verse 17, his explanation. I think these are very closely linked. You know, what does lighting a lamp do? It allows light to be seen. It also reveals what's hidden. So when we come to verse 17, Jesus is telling us that the light of the gospel can't be hidden. It must be placed at the highest point of our lives so that the light will shine. And this light will reveal everything about our lives, verse 17 says. And that's key. This light is going to reveal our hearts, going to reveal our innermost being. Nothing will be hidden. Friends, Jesus is asking you and I, is the message of Jesus' death and resurrection at the forefront of everything that we do? Is it at the forefront of our lives? Is this message placed at the highest point of our lives so that the light of the good news will shine? It's quite a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for us and how we are as Christians, because the light exposes the pretend from the true. It exposes us for who we are and what will be in the future. And so if Jesus is telling us that the light cannot be hidden in our lives and that all will be revealed and brought out in the open in the future as to how we actually are in Christ, whether we truly follow him or not, the call to action that Jesus places on his followers is in verse 18, and that follows. So let's look at that. What does Jesus tell us we ought to then do? Verse 18, he says, consider carefully how we listen. Now friends, this morning I believe this is the main point of the whole passage today. Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. But I want to pause to ask something. Does it surprise you that out of all this talk of placing Christ at the center of your life, placing the good news as the highest point in our lives, does it surprise you that Jesus gives the command to listen? Does that surprise you? I think many of us would have preferred for Jesus to say, in the light of everything that I've said to you, consider how you act, or watch what you say, or be careful about what you think about. But no, what Jesus is actually concerned is not the things that we do. He's concerned with how we listen to him. And I think if we're honest, this is a very big challenge for our culture, because in a world where your voice can be heard in every way, in nearly every platform and in any social media available, never minding the fact that we love to talk, don't we? You know, just a month ago I was on a silent retreat and I was told I wasn't allowed to talk, and that was one of the biggest struggles I've had to do. We like to talk. We're communal people. And Jesus' command here is for us not to do those things. He wants us to listen. Because it's not what we say that Jesus is concerned about. It's about how we listen and what we do with what Jesus is telling us to do. He wants us to listen to him. And this is how Jesus challenged us last week as well. You know, the passage that Ben preached was all about the same idea. The sower, Jesus, he scatters the seed, and hears that scatters the seed, which is the gospel. Everyone hears this word. Everyone. That passage says every person that the sower scatters the seed for hears it. It's not that some didn't hear it. The fact of the matter is that Jesus wants more than just you to hear it. He wants you to listen and do it. He wants you to be careful how you hear this message. And that is why Jesus says, consider carefully how you listen. Why? Well, he says, if you continue reading verse 18, his reason is because whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. You don't light a lamp and hide it in a jar. You put it in a place for all to see. Because light exposes darkness, because light is what reveals what is hidden, it reveals what's going on in our hearts. You want the light to pierce every place, for it to fill the room so that the word is heard and that it's kept in your life. And whoever has this, Jesus says, will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. What a challenge. What a challenge for us. So friends, let the light fill your heart. Let that light fill your heart. And how do we do this? We do this by listening to Jesus. Let's continue to verses 19 to 21. Now you'll notice when we look at verses 19 to 21 today that the scene that unfolds for us in these three verses is very different from the last three verses we've been looking at. The last three verses have been a parable. There was a verse of, you know, Jesus teaching a parable with the light and the lamp. Jesus gives an explanation. But now we're in real time. We're not in story mode anymore, and Jesus is in real time. And Jesus' family are trying to see him, but they can't get near him because of the large crowd. So, you know, someone sends word to Jesus that his family has arrived and they want to see him. And so verse 21, Jesus says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now straight away, if you look at those two stories, you know, those set of three verses, it looks a bit strange. It looks a bit strange because these verses don't seem very connected. They feel totally different. You know, one is a parable, the other is a part of Jesus' life, and one is about a lamp, and the other is an interaction with Jesus, with his family. So on face value, verses 19 to 21, it look very different, and the theme looks very different. It also looks like Jesus is disowning his family. It seems a bit contradictory. His family are waiting to see him. The crowd is in the way. And, you know, Jesus says, you are my mother and my brothers who hear God's word and do it. Friends, I want to say three things about this. I want to say three things about these three verses to show that that can't be true. Jesus is not disowning his family. And I think it's going to point to the overall theme of these six verses. So firstly, the number one blunt statement I want to say about this is I don't believe Jesus is disowning his family. And I believe that we can know this because if you remember, as we think about the Gospel of John, if you think of chapter 19, verses 25 to 26, in that passage in John, Jesus is on the cross and he looks down from the cross and who is it that he sees? He sees his mother. He sees Mary and he sees Mary's sister. And when Jesus sees his mother, he says to her, dear woman, here is your son. Now this is happening, you know, after what's happening right here. This is happening after Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear God's word and do it. So I don't think Jesus is disowning his family. It's very clear on the cross. Jesus looks at his mother and he says, here I am, your family. So that's my first point. I don't believe Jesus is disowning his family. The second thing here, we do need to take note what Jesus is doing. Jesus is doing something here. And in making an example of allowing his family to wait for him, he is showing priority. He's showing that our duty to God here on earth does take precedence over family gatherings, over catch-ups, over times where your family want to pull you and say, oh, you know, it's okay. You don't have to come to church this day. Actually, no, Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are here with me, the ones who hear God's word and do it. So I believe he is not disowning his family, but he is placing priority on the family of God. And thirdly, what has Jesus' main point been the whole time? What has Jesus' main point been the whole time that we've been talking here today? What does Jesus say in verse 21? He says, you are my family if you what? If you hear God's word and put it into practice. Just like verses 16 to 18, the main point there was be careful how you listen. Just like in the sower last week when Ben talked about it, everyone heard the word, but it was those on the good soil that heard the word and did something. It's the third time that Jesus brings that main point to hearing the word of God and doing it. And friends, if I can encourage you, Jesus says, if you do indeed hear God's word and you do it, you are visibly showing that you belong to the family of God. Isn't that an encouragement? This last point I pray is an encouragement for you. In hearing God's word and doing it, you belong to the family of God. Have you ever heard someone say, gee, I'd love to be a part of the family of God? Wouldn't it just be great if Jesus was my brother? Well, friends, if that's you today, don't imagine. Don't imagine it. It's already true. If you bear Christ's resemblance, if you hear the word, if you hear the word and do it, you belong to the family of God. Isn't that marvelous? And it is so much more important to be a part of that family. Friends, this is why I called the title of our sermon today, Encountering Affliction. Because there is so much in this life that wants to pull you away. There is so much in this life that wants to pull you away from hearing God's word and doing it. It seems simple, but it's not simple. There's ourselves. There's our families. There's the world. There's the devil. There is so much against us from growing. Ourselves, I think, is a key point of that. We don't want to listen well. We like to react and to further ourselves away. But friends, God draws us in. He wants you to be there. He proclaims, those who truly know me are the ones who will actually listen. Those who hear my word and put it into practice, that is how I know who is mine. So friends, I want to finish today. I want to finish by giving some practical tips on how we ourselves can listen well to God's word. When it comes time for, church on a Sunday, the preacher, you know, myself, Wayne, Ben, when we come to preach to you guys, we get such a small window to preach the word, and so many of us here are unprepared for what we're about to hear. Remember what I said at the start of my sermon with, I reminded you of something I heard from Peter Adam. You know, when the Bible is read, God is speaking directly to us. Could there be anything more important in our week than hearing God speak to us? But so often we come unprepared. We sit in the sermon and, you know, I'm not saying any of us do here, but I've seen people checking their emails while, you know, the pastor's up there pleading for their souls. This is the most important time as we learn from God. So friends, what is it that you do as you approach Sunday during the week, as you approach church on the day? What is it that you do that helps you listen, that helps you listen well and put God's word into practice? As God speaks to us through his word, it is time for us to listen to him. So here are a few tips I've got. Here's my first one. The first one I think is possibly one of the most important. Read the passage before you come. Read the passage that we're studying before you get here. Before you get into this room, just spend some time looking at the passage. If you're wondering how you can find out what it is that's going to be preached, it's always written in our newsletter. Every single week, if you look in our newsletter, it'll tell you what we're looking at next week. And maybe, you know, this is something I would highly recommend that you not do on your own. Maybe, you know, if you're coming to church with your family, maybe you could study it with your husband or wife. Maybe you could study it with your kids. Let's have a look at this together, you know. Let's look at this passage and you know, let's sit down and what's going to be read. So that's my first tip. The second is this. Perhaps you could pray for the person who is preaching. Now, how many of you prayed for me as I prepared for this message? You don't have to put your hands up. It's okay. I can tell you that, you know, it's such an encouragement to know that the preacher has been prayed for. I've come here. I've prepared the message. It's too late for me to change it when I get up here. Pray for me while I'm doing it. So take time to pray for the preacher. Here's my third tip, and this is hard for our culture, I think. The third tip, be alert at church. Now this is a very obvious statement, isn't it? And I think it's easier said than done, especially because many make it a habit to stay up late on a Saturday night, and perhaps you can't avoid staying up late on a Saturday night at times. And those with kids, you know, forget about it. You might not even get a choice on whether you get to be alert at church. But friends, to the best of our abilities, let's make sure that we come here fresh and ready to hear what God has to say to us. Because then our mental capacity will be ready for what we hear. And my fourth tip, prepare well. Prepare well. If you find yourself a busy person, perhaps, you know, even today, you're pulled into the car park, you're just rushing around because life's so busy. Maybe you had breakfast in the car. I don't know. Maybe you're just rushing around. Maybe right now, as you think, you're thinking, you know, would you just finish up? I've got a lot to do after church. Whatever it is for you, we know, don't we, that life gets so busy for us. We're trying to get this done, that done. We squeeze church in, we go home, we have lunch, we go to the next thing. I want to encourage you, friends. Let's just pause. If God is speaking to us, let's make that the main priority. Let's prepare well. Maybe for you, it would be good to come early. Turn off the radio as you get here. Sit in your car for 5 minutes. Come and sit in the pews for 5 minutes. Let's just prepare our hearts for what God is going to speak to us. So prepare well. Friends, as we come to close, I want to share with you a story that happened to me just this week. I was sitting at the dinner table. We were about to start, and Elisa just finished preparing for dinner. So I said to my son, Xander, who was in our toy room, I said to him, Xander, it's time to come and we're going to have dinner. You know what he said? He said, okay. Did he come? No. So I said, Xander, come and pack up. It's time to eat some dinner. Let's go. He said, okay, I'm coming. He didn't come. He lied. I said, Xander, it's time to have some dinner. You know, we're coming. Yeah, Dad, I'm coming. He's playing with his trains. How many of us hear the word and do the same thing? Jesus says, take some time with me. All right, I'm coming. No, I want you to pray with me. I want you to talk to me. I'm coming, Jesus, I'm coming. Let's not be that. Let's prepare our hearts. Friends, I want to encourage each of you that we as a staff team pray for each and every one of you. We are committed to you as a church, and we desire for Christ to be glorified and for you to grow more every day. And I will pray now. I'll pray that no one will hide their lamps, but that we will place the good news of Jesus in the highest place in our lives, and that we will be a people who hear God's word and do it. So please, let's take a moment now and let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that when we read your word, it is you speaking directly to us. I pray that you would help us to not be hearers only, but that we would listen to your word in such a way and that we would do it, that we would grow in Christ every day. I pray that we here in this church right now would be those who choose to hear God's word and put it into practice. And pray that you would encourage us that as we bear the likeness of Christ, that we would hear his word and do it. And that we would show that we belong to the family of God and that we would truly be a part of his family. We pray this for our sake and for your glory. Amen.